from St. Louis Public Radio. This is St. Louis on the Air.
I consider him a friend, and he explained what they were going to do, and I thought, I agree. You know, it had a 35-year run. It's going to a good place. And I said, I'm very happy with all these things. And it's odd because the Cherokees are really not part of the St. Louis Indian or Native American scene. Mm-hmm. But they kept in touch with me, and they approved the drawings. And then I showed them the model, and they said, we feel that's very dignified. So
you made some changes to what
right.
you had in mind.
Yeah.
And what kind of changes? I'm Sarah Funsky. Since 1985, a statue of a Cherokee man presided over the intersection of Jefferson and Cherokee in South St. Louis. The statue was made by local noted artist Bill Christman. But on September 16th, the Cherokee Street Community Improvement District voted to remove the statue. They said it does not appropriately honor the indigenous communities that have called this land home. The statue came down the very next day, but rather than be destroyed, it was sent to a nonprofit archive in Sauget, Illinois, that houses pieces like this. Now, it's fair to say many people in St. Louis have an opinion on this subject. Here are a few people we heard from, starting with Jeff.
I'm really disappointed that the statue is down and that people felt that they needed to take it down. I think it represented the area, the neighborhood, and part of St. Louis's history, actually. And there's been a statue there for so many years, but it reminds us of the cigar store Indians that graced many stores, retail stores, years ago that have long been gone. But I'm really going to miss it.
Hi, this is Matthew from Dutchtown, St. Louis. Regarding the statue of the Native American on Cherokee Street, wow, it should have been taken out a long time ago. And why is the street named Cherokee? Why is Chippewa Street named Chippewa? There's no Cherokee Nation or Chippewa Nation people there.
My name is Diana, calling regarding Bill Christman's Native American man statue that was at Jefferson and Cherokee for so many years, which I thought was a beautiful landmark. And as a Native American, I never really felt offended by its presence. And I understand how many people these days could feel offended by that as an icon. I have to say, I am delighted that instead of a landfill, it's going to a new home. I'm almost wishing it would be going to Bill Christman's speakeasy location, so that it could continue to be enjoyed by lots of people on this side of the river. But I'm sure in its new home, it will have a new meaning. And my hope is that people will take time to do some homework about Native Americans and understand why it's important to treat Indigenous people with the respect that they deserve.
And those are some of your feelings about the statue that previously stood at Cherokee Street. And joining us now to share his view and some background on the project is artist Bill Christman. Bill, welcome.
Thank you.
So, Bill, give us some background. How did you come to make this statue?
Well, in, I think, 1984, there was a general call put out to artists, designers, sign companies to come up with ideas for the district known as, you know, the Cherokee, it was like a shopping mall.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, there was still remnants of the Wellston Loop and the Maplewood Loop. So the people and the business owners decided they wanted something to kind of draw attention to the shopping community there. And they put out a call for entries, and I thought at that time, because street banners were so popular, that everybody would probably follow along that line because they're colorful and they're festive and informative. So, and I had done street banners, but I thought I'd come up with something a little different, which was to do a monument of a Cherokee Indian. And at that time, I didn't really know that the Cherokee were really from North and South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And they only really passed through Missouri through the Trail of Tears on their way to the Oklahoma Indian Territory. But so I was selected, I think, just because it was a different approach to it. And I built a model, which is you see here in the studio.
And we do want to mention, if people want to see this model themselves, we put that out on our Twitter feed. That's at STL on Air. It's a very striking piece.
Thank you. So at any rate, shortly after that was made public, I was contacted by a group of Indians from the Cherokee Nation who had an office in St. Louis on Gravois. And they said, we'd like to meet with you because there's issues about a statue of an Indian. When this one previous caller talked about a cigar store Indian, they said that's really what we want to address because it's... So they came over to my shop.
They did not want this cigar store Indian.
And they explained to me that what would, the tradition that came from was very offensive to Indians. They would often get an Indian who would become drunk and catatonic and then place him in front of the bar and put silly objects in his hand, like a broom and a mop and put a flower pot on his head. And it was really a way of humiliating the Indians. And they said it's analogous to what African Americans feel about lawn jockeys.
Okay, so I bet that got your attention.
Yeah, I said, I had no idea. So I said, well, my intent is to honor, it's odd because the Cherokees are really not part of the St. Louis Indian or Native American scene, but they kept in touch with me and they approved the drawings, and then I showed them the model, and they said, we feel that's very dignified. So
you made some changes to what you had in mind.
Yeah,
and what kind of changes?
Well, I don't remember exactly, but I just took out anything that could be taken as a cigar store Indian. Really, the big item is he's holding the Cherokee language in his left hand, which is... part of their pride was that they had their own language and produced their own newspaper. And they felt that was a very high mark showing their level of civilization. And they were chiefly known by a man named Sequoia who dressed often in European clothes with a turban. And they said really most Cherokees would wear feathers on their – and they said they wore a lot of draped cloths over a kind of a skin skirt, and mostly they wore animal skins, and they wore, originally we were going to have a bow and arrow, and they said, we'll de-emphasize that thing, and they wanted very much, you know, the hand raised in a gesture of peace.
Okay, and so you followed what they said.
I did.
That's reflected here.
Yeah, I really felt that they were really nice people, and I, I wanted to make them happy because I thought, the last thing I'm out to do is to try to, do something that ends up with negative consequences to the people it's intending to honor.
Mm-hmm.
So then I made it, and I was never really delighted with the way the statue turned out because I was carving it out of foam, and I had sprained my ankle, and it was 13 feet tall.
Oh.
And I was working on a ladder, so it was painful. But I had a deadline, and somehow the proportions of the statue kind of got a little off. And I think the model I always felt was much more successful than the finished product. But
so you weren't thrilled with this, but
no,
yeah,
but it
still went up. You had a deadline, you hit it.
Yeah, and it had 35 years as a way to draw attention to that business district and to kind of indicate some vitality and help identify it. And then I think times changed in 35 years. The building owner changed. The building color was changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's now painted all black. There's a big utility box behind it, that houses some kind of electrical equipment. And there's murals all around. So it's in a different landscape than it was in 1985.
Yeah, a lot has changed down there. But when did you learn that there was a discussion that they were planning to take this down?
Well, I got a call from Jason Deem
is it the developer down on Cherokee Street.
And he's also a part of the National Building Arts Center in Sauget. And I consider him a friend, and he explained what they were going to do. And I thought, I agree. I think it's time is you know, it had a 35-year run. It's going to a good place. And I said, I'm very happy with all these things. And, I mean, at one time, someone set fire to the base of it. It had an 8-foot-tall wooden base, and it was burned out, and I had to repair that.
Wait, was this for political reasons or
no,
random vandalism?
Yeah, and it had graffiti on it. I mean, the statue had been graffitied, and at one time there was a homeless person living inside the base of it. So, you know, it had its it had its history.
Yeah.
And now its history continues in the National Building Arts Center. So,
yeah, so
I'm very fine with that.
I'm glad you brought this to the National Building Arts Center, because this is that archive I previously mentioned that's in Sauget, Illinois. And Michael Allen is the president of this organization. Our producer, Evie Hemphill, spoke to him, and he told her that Jason Deem suggested this would be a good way to preserve this statue. Michael Allen explained why the National Building Arts Center, also known as NBAC, is a good home for this sculpture.
NBAC is a repository for, you know, artifacts that may have artistic value, but often, you know, face public conflict over their meaning and preservation. You know, most of the artifacts we have, like the statue, at some point or another, somebody decided, you know, that building is in the way of something else, right, that society wants. So in some ways, you know, this is just what we do, is we are the home for these kinds of pieces. You know, when it comes to statuary with political meaning, you know, that's certainly not our primary focus. But in this case, with that statue being made by a local artist who, you know, has been very active in historic preservation and works across the city, we think it's a pretty significant piece.
Michael Allen added that the National Building Arts Center is a place where people can take whatever meaning they want from the art.
If the statue was offensive to some people on the street, you know, in our collection, it's an artifact, and all artifacts, you know, are open to interpretation, multiple meanings. And the best thing about a museum is you don't have to like everything on display, right?
And that, again, is Michael Allen. Bill Christman, the artist who's here with us today, who made this statue. Bill, I'm curious how you feel about what Michael just described there.
I think Michael Allen is a genius, actually. And I hope we do everything we can to keep him in St. Louis as long as we can, because his passion and enthusiasm for St. Louis history, culture, architecture, and stuff is unmatched. And I've always liked Michael Allen's take on anything. He's a very earthy academic.
Yeah.
He combines a kind of a passion for the city with a very intellectual capability. And that's one of the reasons why I think Sauget is, I feel greatly honored that it's going to be the next home for the Cherokee Indian.
So you mentioned just how much has changed on this corner where this statue long stood. There's also a lot that has changed in how we talk about art and how we talk about representations of minority communities. Do you think you would hesitate to take a commission like this today if somebody wanted this kind of statue?
I don't know that would possibly occur.
Nobody would make such a commission today.
Yeah, just times have changed. And the merchants were just hoping to kind of jazz up the neighborhood and help people, help the merchants draw customers. And it was one of those things.
Unknown caller.
That's my phone.
That's your phone. How about, let's switch that off and then we'll keep talking.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, that was quick. Thank you.
Sometimes it isn't quick, but I'm trying to think. That distracted me greatly, but...
You were saying nobody would commission a piece like this today. This was...
No, but there is a long-standing tradition in America of roadside sculptures. The most commonly known ones are the muffler men, and they would be... these large guys who would be holding up a muffler, and sometimes they would end up holding up an axe and a log and look like a lumberjack. So that's really, this statue is more akin to American roadside vernacular advertising sculpture. It's really kind of harmless in that mode, because it's meant, as Americans love to do, is to promote and advertising. There's no requirements for taste or historical accuracy.
And yet here you are trying to embody, though, a group of people.
Well,
I mean, it's different than a muffler man, right?
Right, that's true. So, but there are some, you know, parallels.
Yeah.
It's a form of promotion and advertising, which that's what America is all about.
Yeah. So. We heard from a number of people also on our St. Louis on the Air Facebook page and on Twitter, people who had thoughts about this. And a lot of people are very glad this has come down. We heard from a lot of them. Here's a different perspective that we heard from someone named Odie, who writes on our Facebook page. The Community Improvement District claims the statue, quote, did not honor Cherokee people, but neither does an empty sidewalk. I have heard of no plans for a replacement memorial. And Odie notes that there's talk about renaming Cherokee to Oak Street, maybe, adding, so where exactly does acknowledging the terrible legacy of colonialism fit into this? Sounds like more like a shove it under the rug and forget the past type deal. As someone on Facebook who is a member of the Cherokee Nation pointed out, there are like 30 statues of white slave-owning men in St. Louis still standing. Why are they the only ones who deserve statues? Thought that was a different point of view that I had not previously considered. I don't know if that makes your mind turn.
Well, I'm not really, I think I'm almost too old to weigh in on that topic, because I support the idea of moving forward in history and correcting our mistakes, and they are many and they are grievous, and I think that the treatment of the native indigenous people is one of our gravest sins, mm-hmm. and I think that the St. Louis, and I just finished reading that book, Land of the Broken Heart. I mean, it was just brutally difficult to see what St. Louis has.
Walter Johnson's, The Broken Heart of America.
Broken Heart of America. I mean, it just pains me. And I want everything that can be done to be done. But I don't know that just, I think it's more symbolic things are part of it. But I think what people have to do is to start being open to integration. I mean, I think I live near the U City Loop, and one of the reasons that's so nice is it's a very integrated area.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other areas in St. Louis that rarely are integrated. So I've always chosen to live and raise my family in those kinds of areas, and not retreat to the suburbs and so forth. But St. Louis has got a big challenge ahead to heal these wounds, and that really means like taking just people like, the symbolic stuff is one part of it, but I don't mm-hmm. think that's going to heal the problem. I think people have to start creating, and it's going to take generations, mm-hmm. I think, unless there's some sort of other divine plan for our development as a species.
Yeah. Boy, we have to hope in that divine plan, because it seems like otherwise, there's been so much water under the bridge and it's going to take so long. Well, Bill Christman, I really appreciate you joining us today and sharing this history and your perspective.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
This episode was produced by Evie Hemphill, with audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr. Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news from the St. Louis region and across Missouri. It also includes stories from the Illinois side of the river and our Metro East reporter, Will Bauer.
In Alton, in Belleville, in East St. Louis, in Edwardsville, in Cahokia Heights, at Scott Air Force Base, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Listen to reports from Will and all of our journalists weekdays on the Gateway, on the STLPR app, and wherever you get podcasts.